My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who'll guide us to Destination Unlimited. In December 2017, the New York Times broke the story of a secretly funded Pentagon program called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP. Also released were videos captured during a 2004 encounter near San Diego between two Navy fighter jets and an unknown object. Labeled the Tic Tac, this object demonstrated performance and speeds that no man-made aircraft could even approach. For many, this was the first act of disclosure, that there are extraterrestrials visiting our world, and what UFO experiencers and witnesses have claimed for years was true. In December of 2020, the U.S. government enacted the Intelligence Authorization Act, calling for the release of an unclassified and all-sources report on unidentified aerial phenomenon, the official term for UFOs, by June 1st. What will this report reveal? Are we closer to full disclosure than ever? And furthermore, is human society ready to accept that we are not alone and make contact? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Alan Steinfeld, has just published an amazing new book featuring the work of some top names in UFO research and presenting multiple perspectives on what no longer can be denied. UFOs and their occupants are visiting our world. Alan Steinfeld is an explorer of consciousness. For more than 30 years, he's hosted and produced a weekly television series in New York called New Realities. His YouTube channel of the same name has 70,000 subscribers with more than 22 million total views of his in-depth interviews. These include luminaries in the fields of health, spirituality, and UFOs, such as Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Ram Dass, and every major UFO researcher in the field. With his media appearances, lectures, and conferences, he informs millions about human potential, remote viewing, and the nature of alien contact. For the last 7 years, he's emceed the largest UFO event in the country, Contact in the Desert. He feels that only when the inner explorations of the soul are combined with the outer adventures of the mind can we achieve a harmonious understanding of our place in the cosmos. He lives in New York. You may find more of his work on his YouTube channel, and he joins us this week to share his path and his book, Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Alan Steinfeld. Welcome, Alan.
Hey, thank you, Victor. Really great to be here, and thanks for reaching out and talking about this.
Alan, first and foremost, congratulations on Making Contact. It was just published on May 4th and is already an Amazon bestseller. So congratulations.
I know. I didn't know how this book would be received. I know we're, like you said in that introduction, we are coming to a time where the glass ceiling on secrecy is breaking, and I think people are ready to find out what's going on.
Absolutely. So congratulations on this wonderful book.
I appreciate that. I welcome that because
thank you.
It's always a risk when you put out a St. Martin's, it's not like one of these self-published books. St. Martin's sort of came to me and asked me if I would do this because I've been involved in the UFO field because of my own curiosity, not even expecting to write a book like this. I had some other books I wanted to write, but this just came to me, fell in my lap, and there it is.
And the timing is absolutely perfect. Now, we had the pleasure of meeting at Jody Sirota's MetaCenter about 20 years ago, and I've also enjoyed your hosting panels and webinars on many spiritual and metaphysical topics over the years. Please share with us your early path and how you developed New Realities.
Well, that's always a question I love talking about because I wanted to understand cognition. I wanted to understand the nature of reality. That was sort of my preoccupation. I took English literature in college. I studied James Joyce for a year, and Joyce wrote in Stream of Consciousness. So when he underneath there, it's like, what was the nature of consciousness? How did individuals' perceptions, which he gets in the mind of in his writing, especially Ulysses, their perceptions created the world around them? And I felt that that is true of everyone. So everyone's really living in their own sense of reality. And generally, for most people, it's pretty much the same. It's pretty much what we've been told it is. Occasionally, though, I would meet people who, just because of their own unique interests, had a different take on the nature of reality. And those are the people I found most interesting. And these happen to be artists or scientists or people exploring different awarenesses. And of course, UFOs are involved in that. But I sought out people like Bruce Lipton is someone I discovered, I have to say, before he was known, and talked about looking at biology from the sense of a spiritual perspective, like our cells were receptor sites for this quality of being. And that was unique for me to hear, to bring in the science and the spiritual together. So that's sort of what New Realities have been about, the merging of these two worlds that are really one world. We've been divided into left brain, right brain, linear and intuition. And we really have to realize we're whole brain. We have to understand reality in a whole new way. So that's been my quest. What is the nature of reality? How do we understand it? And how can we evolve our understanding?
And from your quest, just a quick question, are we living in the matrix?
Well, there's always a matrix, which it doesn't matter. What matrix are you talking about? Yeah, we're living in a thought-controlled matrix that is not our own creating, because if it was, we'd all be artists. You know, if we were to really create the matrix we want, I mean, when you say matrix, I'm not sure what you mean, but of course the movie, Bruce Lipton said the movie's not a fiction, it's a documentary. So we've been dictated to about what to think, what to say, how to act, who to connect with, who not to connect with. So we're thought controlled. Terrence McKenna would say, culture is not your friend. So maybe culture is the matrix. But our real destiny is to be creative beings, to explore the unknown, to what my teacher, Ramtha, in the 80s would say, we're here to make known the unknown, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So we're going to start out right now by asking you the million-dollar question.
Okay.
Have you had a UFO sighting or experience?
Not only have I had it, but I have to say, hundreds of thousands, probably millions, hundreds of millions of people around the world have had unusual sightings that are inexplicable by the normal matrix standards. So, yes, I've seen a UFO in New York in 1981. I saw one in New Mexico, these little silent ships that seemed to like be circling overhead. One came down to me. I was at a sweat lodge and kind of circled down and circled up. I had a sort of abduction experience that I write about in my book in 1987. I had dreams of these beings coming to me that are not really dreams. They're another level of reality. All we can really say about it is that they're dreams, but that's how limited our vocabulary of different levels of consciousness are. Yeah, they're there. I just was out in Sedona the other day with night vision goggles, and there were definitely things unidentifiable that weren't satellites passing overhead. And if you ever go out with night vision goggles, that's the way to see things. There's no doubt about it that you are seeing something otherworldly.
I remember being in Sedona many times over the years, and especially a place called the Airport Vortex, which is kind of a raised area above the airport, and seeing a lot of things happening in the sky, and they weren't coming from the airport. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Based upon the fact that you had those experiences,
There are those of us who have had experiences as adults, but also had experiences as children. Did you have anything when you were a child?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I actually don't think I do write about that in the book. But I would see these strange figures in the window. At least I remember I thought I saw these strange figures. They were almost like cartoon figures. Maybe they were cartoon figures, but they were something, or I would imagine that. I never liked sleeping in the dark. Maybe no child does. I always liked to sleep with the lights on. And then when I became a teenager, I'd like to sleep with music on or the radio. That's the only way I could fall asleep. I did when I was, I guess, about 13 or 14, I would have these strange dreams where I felt like I was being pulled out of my body. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was, but it was a sense of these other realities. And I felt also frozen. And I also felt like if I just closed my eyes and looked forward, I could go into deeper levels and sort of travel in my mind. So strange things that maybe are normal for other children, but no one talked about them. But I would have odd experiences in childhood for sure. And I don't know what that was.
Well, we're going to share a little bit more about this later in the interview, but I'll share with you now that my first conscious experience was when I was 5 years old in 1958. And when these experiences would happen, I would tell my mother and father about it. And they said that I had an overactive imagination and that I should stop imagining things. Well, jump ahead to about 7 or 8 years ago, my mom, who was ill at the time, she was in a nursing home in New Jersey. And I would go and visit her twice a month and bring her lunch. And we were sitting there one day, and she had developed Parkinson's disease, and there was no history in our family of Parkinson's disease. And she said, "Why do I have Parkinson's disease? No one in our family has ever had." And I said, "Mom," I said, "you never believed me when I shared those stories with you as a kid. But there are some who believe that people who have had contact with extraterrestrials in their families have developed various types of conditions. My brother, sister, and I have three different, not life-threatening, but autoimmune conditions, three completely different ones. My mother had Parkinson's disease." I said, "But Mom, you never believed me when I told you." I said, "You never had anything strange happen, did you?" And she said, "No, except for that time," and the hair on the back of my neck started standing up. She said, "Except for that time that you were about a year old," which would have been January, February of 1954. She said, "It was 3 o'clock in the morning. You were crying, and I got up to give you a bottle. I went into the kitchen, and this strange light came through the window, and I don't remember anything until the next day."
Wow. Well, that goes along with my theory that this follows generations, and it probably her mother, usually on the mother's side for whatever reason, have had contact. And well, the reason I think is because they are manipulating us genetically to get us more in alignment with their genes so they can create a hybrid civilization or set of beings. That's a little way out, but I think it does follow in families, and that's a great example of it. Absolutely.
What inspired you to gather some of the top names in the field and compile them in Making Contact?
Well, when I had this, my most conscious abduction, or I guess that's what it was, in 1987, and there was a mark on my leg, and I was sort of open to UFOs and other things, but that sucked me right down the rabbit hole. And I wanted to know everything I could about this phenomenon. So back in 87, I met Bud Hopkins, and I met John Mack, and then I met Woodley Strieber, and then I would have to go to every single UFO conference I could possibly go to. And then I worked my way up to emceeing these conferences and holding my own conferences. I brought Whitley Strieber, Linda Moulton Howe, Richard Dolan to New York for a conference at the Friends of the Institute of Noetic Science, which I was on the board of. So I started to know the insiders, the people I really respected in the business. And I also realized, even though they were all great researchers and great conveyors of experience, no one had the same truth. No one had the same story. There were subtle differences in the way they interpreted this phenomenon. So I thought, is there a truth? Is there one monolithic truth about this? Or do we all have a different piece of the elephant, let's say? And I think that is it. I think this phenomena is so complex and so, I would say otherworldly, obviously, but it's so, I think, almost incomprehensible that we have to take it from many, many perspectives. And this is why I asked 11 of the best people I knew in the field to write. And I just gave them the title, Making Contact. I said, write about what that means to you. And so we have a variety of essays that goes from the exoteric, the external, which includes government cover up and like what's the shape of the craft and are there crash retrievals, to the interior. How does it affect us? What's its real essence? Why are they here? And how does it change who we are as human beings? So that goes to the esoteric, the internal. How did it shift consciousness? So it's like it covers all the bases. And I think it's really a good beginner's book for the subject, but it also goes deep into people who may have been involved in this phenomena for 20 or 30 years, like myself.
In Making Contact, you share that you stand on the shoulders of giants in the UFO and extraterrestrial contact field. Let's discuss some of those who have already transitioned but shaped our understanding of the phenomena. Of course, we could begin with the father of ufology, Stanton Friedman.
Yes, Stanton Friedman. Actually, I have to say, Stanton Friedman was the first perking up of interest. He's not in the book, but I did see him in college. I was at the University of Buffalo in 1976 or 77. And he said there was a lecture that I was curious about, UFOs are real. And, you know, I was brought up on Star Trek and all that, but I never heard a whole lecture. And here was this nuclear physicist, Stanton Friedman, saying UFOs are real and here's the proof and they're not, you know, here to invade us and all the things Stanton said. So he was the godfather of ufology. I was really fortunate to interview him a couple of times. And he set the bar for new realities. And it was very important what Stanton had came out and said. So, yeah, that was one level.
I never met him in person, but I understand he also had a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah, he was one of those, I guess you would call them altakagas, right? these old Jewish guys that would sit around in kibbutz. And, but yet he was a really brilliant, intelligent guy and actually resurrected Roswell. Without Stanton Friedman, we probably never would have heard of Roswell. It could have just been room. Stanton Friedman single-handedly got to some of the bottom. I don't think we were at the bottom of the Roswell crash, but he brought it to light in a way that wasn't there before.
John Mack was a writer, a professor, and the head of the Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. In the early 1990s, he commenced a decade-plus psychological study of 200 men and women who reported recurrent alien encounter experiences. What did he find?
John Mack, I would say, is one of the pivotal people in this, I wouldn't call it a business, this field, because he was a psychiatrist, clinical psychiatrist. He was the head of the Harvard School of Medicine in psychiatry, and he started to talk to people who've had these abduction experiences. He thought, this is strange. These people must be crazy. He went to meet Bud Hopkins, who was already involved in that field for a couple of years then in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was sure these people were crazy until he started talking to people and listening to their stories and realizing that maybe this is a reality that we just don't recognize in the West. And maybe there's something to these experiences of being taken aboard these ships and being operated on, taking genetics. And he said, these people are not hallucinating. They're not insane, which Harvard was very upset about. They said, you can't come out and say that you have to give people this pathology, a pathology. And he said, no, there is no pathology I can find here because they're very functional, maybe even more functional in their life. So he was the sanctioner of this realm, and he made it okay for probably hundreds of thousands of people to come forward with their experiences because he was looking at it from a psychiatric point of view. And of course, I knew John. He was a great guy. He was a great lecturer, really intelligent. He was probably, you know, someone who took a bigger perspective on this. He said, we have to understand this phenomena with another way of knowing, with not a linear intellectual way, but more of an intuitive feeling way. And he, when people would come to John, and he was a psychiatrist, like I said, and they would say, please tell me I'm crazy for having these strange UFO encounter experiences. And John would say something like, I have good news and bad news for you. You're not crazy. Of course, the good news is they weren't crazy. The bad news is, yes, these things that you think you've imagined are really happening. And let's try to integrate them into a bigger sense of reality. That was another key component of John's importance in the field, to realize that the reality that we are functioning under is not the reality that really exists. It's only a limited worldview. So John brought so much to the field, and this is an unpublished essay that I talked to his archivist about. It was just an audio lecture, and it actually was something that John had converted into an essay, but it was never in print before this book. And even though John died about 20 years ago, it still is a very contemporary understanding of this phenomena from this sort of spiritual, intellectual, expanded world viewpoint of view.
And the book is called Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. Alan Steinfeld, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and new realities.
Well, thank you, Victor. You can get the book on Amazon. That's the best place, because I think Amazon has a ranking system. I can see where it is when people buy the book. So it's been doing very well. Go to Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld, Steinfeld, order it online. You can also order, there's an audio and a Kindle version. The audio version, I read a little piece of it. George Norrie, who wrote the foreword for the book, read some of that. But we have professional voiceover people who did a really good job reading this to the audience. So it's a great listening experience. The best platform for my work is YouTube, and the webs, and my channel there is youtube.com/newrealities. And I do at least three or four live YouTube streams a week.
And we'll be back with more of Alan Steinfeld and Making Contact after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Alan Steinfeld. We're talking about his book, Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. We were talking offline about some of the things that we've been having in common. And several years ago, I attended a conference that you sponsored and you hosted, the Friends of the Institute of Noetic Sciences here in New York. And Whitley Strieber and his late wife, Anne, were the keynote speakers. The following day, there was a private luncheon hosted by Emily Squires, who had been the director of Sesame Street. And at that luncheon, Anne mentioned the thousands and thousands of letters they had received after the publication of Communion, and recalled that in many instances, experiencers had a vision of a deceased relative either just before or after the contact experience. Now, this triggered a memory of mine going back to 1960 of seeing my grandfather who had passed the evening before one of my experiences. Is this something that has come up in your research and experience?
Well, not me personally, I don't think, but Whitley Strieber talks about it a lot. What I think it is that these other realms, the astral realm where maybe the dead go, and the UFO realm, which are less physical. And I think when you start to open up to those different frequencies, it's like a radio. You start to get a lot of other channels, and there might be overlapping frequencies that happen. So, you know, this realm, this 3D realm, is the simplest and densest. And as we awaken, and I think ET contact is about awakening a higher level of consciousness, I think it opens up many other doorways in our mind to perceive other realities. So they say people who've had near-death experiences are more prone to UFO experiences. Somehow there's a level that's just awakened. But, you know, all around us, I think William James said, is there's the other realities that are separated by the flimsiest of veils, in a sense. So as the veil is lifted, and this is the big revelation I think the human race is coming into, as the UFOs and the government is coming forward, more people are having experiences, we start to realize who we truly are as human beings, which is multifaceted, multidimensional. Our consciousness is non-local. It's not contained to our brains. Our brains are receivers of consciousness. And so the realm of people who've passed over, maybe that's just a slight different frequency away. I know I just had an old girlfriend who had passed, and like right after, she was more present, actually more present than she was when she was alive almost. I felt her so strongly. It was like I could almost touch her, but it was this non-physical awareness. And I think this is our destiny. We are, and this book is waking people up to the fact that really there's more to reality. So it hasn't been my direct experience seeing people that had crossed over, but it has been a lot of people who make that connection between the UFO realms and this awakening. Actually, there's someone in the book, Henrietta Weeks, she's a friend of mine. She's actually the only one who's not a famous ufologist, but she talks about her father who had died, and then her revelation of these UFO realities that are somehow linked to that.
Whitley Strieber's groundbreaking book, Communion, was an eye-opener for me and went far to helping me accept my experiences as a child and later on. Whitley is a major contributor to this book. Tell us what he shares.
Now, Whitley, I think, is probably the most lucid contactee that I have found. Lucid in the sense he can stay present when these beings arrive. And that's something I write about, is that there's a sort of altered state of consciousness that happens. And you need to practice lucidity in those realms. And Whitley's been doing a Gurdjieff practice of sensing exercises. And he thinks that's actually what attracted the beings to him. But I find Whitley understands what he calls the visitors better than anyone else. And the chapter he has in my book is taken from a whole book that he wrote called A New World. And this is something that the beings, the visitors, said to Colonel Corso, who wrote The Day After Roswell, that Corso said to Whitley. And Corso said to Whitley, you know, the being said to him, it's a new day, a new world that's coming if we can take it. And Whitley sort of writes A New World based on what is a sort of abstract sense of knowing. So we want to know what everything is. We want a linear, mechanistic explanation of reality. And Whitley says, it's not quite like that. It's not quite defined. It's more, and this is my word, comprehensible than comprehensible, if that makes sense, Victor.
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. A lot of people associate this phenomenon with what's been called abduction, being taken against their will. Now, I've shared this occasionally with close friends, but I had my first conscious, that's remembered experience in 1958 when I was 5 years old. I never considered this abduction, but I called it night school because the next day I seemed to have knowledge that I had no other source for, including rudimentary electronics. You shared during the recent Portals of Ascension conference that Whitley also wrote a book about night school, which I was not aware of. Please tell us about that.
Well, night school is when people, children are taken. Now, as you mentioned that, I feel like I knew stuff as a child that I didn't learn in school. So I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would always have a hard time sleeping. And so maybe what you're saying now is like there's a kind of higher education that happens to people who come in that want to know more, that are part of the mystical traditions, that have another part of, let's say, their brain awakened to these possibilities. So in Whitley's story, he said felt like he was being taken a lot when he was younger to learn these higher concepts. And I think this is a preparation. And maybe Einstein was one of those people. You know, where does he come out of the blue with a whole revolutionary idea that of science and physics that no one, I mean, some people said he had influences, but basically no one had thought of before. And it wasn't like this was like a new technology coming in. It was like a thought experiment. So I'm saying it might be more common than we think, that this higher education on these dream states or on these, let's call them astral levels, that open our minds to more of reality. So that probably happened to you. It definitely happened to Whitley, as he says, and lots of more people wake up in the morning with interests and fascinations and ideas that didn't come from watching television.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I also gained from my night school sessions was I started writing poetry when I was 5 and 6 years old. So again, these are things that I had no training for or no background in, but all of a sudden manifested after my experiences.
The arts, I think, are a big part of this whole phenomenon. And it's somehow like artists who have met these beings, their art becomes more complex, it becomes more abstract. And I think it's a way of thinking that they are trying to tell us by influencing these artists. There's actually a whole podcast called Artists and what's it called? Artists and Aliens. Whitley's book is called The Secret School, Preparation for Contact. That's what his book is called. So If you want to know more about what happened to Whitley, I do recommend A New World by Whitley and Supernatural, which is a breakthrough book where he's saying this is natural. What's happening to us? It's natural. It's a supernatural, but it's a natural phenomena of expanding consciousness. This is, and we've been dumbed down. We actually are living in the matrix. Yes, the matrix is small, narrow matrix that has been conditioned thought. Did I mention Terence McKenna would say culture is not your friend because it limits the possibilities of what we're allowed to think. We have to break outside of this matrix and realize that we're part of a greater cosmos. And that's really why I put this book together, to show what was possible for human beings. We're not separate from the cosmos. We're part of a greater reality. And when we wake up to that, these beings will be interfacing with us on a everyday level, if we can take it. That's the new world, if we can take it.
One of the challenges to contact and disclosure has been governmental efforts to suppress and mask information. Nick Pope discusses this in Making Contact. What was Nick's position?
Nick Pope is a government insider, a former government insider. He worked for the UK Ministry of Defense, and he still is sworn to secrecy. He was an investigator into UFOs, UAPs, and he still has stuff he won't tell us. But he's saying in this opening chapter, which is the exo the exoteric. Government isn't telling us its secrets because they don't want to share technology with the enemy. And I don't really buy that. I think they're doing it for corporate interests, and I think they're doing it because they don't know how to tell us what they don't know how to, what they can't explain. And I just, there's a book that I just came across by Gordon Cooper. He was a Mercury astronaut. Do you know who Gordon Cooper is?
Absolutely.
And he wrote this book. And part of it is about his following UFOs in these high-tech Air Force machines, you know, following them in Europe and all over. But he says that the first public disclosure was from President Harry Truman on April 4th, 1950. And Truman said, "I can assure you that flying saucers, given that fact that they exist, are not constructed by any power on Earth." Mm-hmm. "I can assure you," he says that. And so it's clear that our government started out in the 40s and 50s trying to keep information from us because they were concerned about the panic in the public. But, you know, new surveys show that 40 to 50% of Americans know that UFOs exist, and they're not freaked out, and they just want to know the truth. It's probably, numbers are probably higher as government disclosure gets closer. So the government doesn't know how to explain what's going on. That's why they're hedging their bets. That's why they're not telling us what's happening, because they've been quiet for a long time. And now that this glass ceiling is breaking, they don't know how far back to go. So, we're getting a report in the New York Times that in 2004, there was a sighting off the coast of San Diego. But this goes back to Roswell, and it's layers and layers of deceit and lies. And how do you start to tell the public that they've been lying, saying, "Oh, there's nothing to UFOs." And that's the predicament they're in, not the fact that they exist, which is self-evident, but how do they say that they've been covering this up for 75 years? That's the problem.
One of the pioneering journalists in the field is Linda Moulton Howe, who's the editor of earthfiles.com. Tell us about Linda's contribution.
Linda, for me, is probably the top UFO investigator. She knows more, and she's smart enough to remember it all. She's been doing this. Well, she was a mainstream journalist, and she was reporting on these cattle mutilations that were happening in the Midwest and Colorado. And she would go to the site and see that these cattle were completely drained of blood and their soft tissue were taken. And it didn't seem like any weird satanic ritual. And she talked to the sheriffs there. And one of these sheriffs said to her, as a mainstream reporter, These cattle mutilations were not done by anyone from planet Earth. And that she said this in one of my interviews with her, it sent a chill through her, and it just shocked her. And her life changed in that moment. And it was like an oh my God moment. And she started from 1979, then on, she started pursuing what this phenomenon is about. And she has been at it every single day with her Earth Files reporting for, how long has that been? 50, 60 years now. And she keeps at it, and she keeps going, and she gets government insiders, people from the DIA, the Department of Intelligence, Department of Intelligence Agencies, to come forward and say, "Guess what? I have this to tell you." And one of the things that she writes about in this book, in her chapter, is that there have been three competing extraterrestrial races on planet Earth fighting for control. And it's time we wake up to the fact that there's more here than meets the eye. So, you know, it's a drastic situation, and something very strange is happening. And Linda, I think, is at the bottom of a lot of this.
Absolutely. My guest is Alan Steinfeld. We're talking about his new book, Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. We'll be back with more of Alan after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Alan Steinfeld. We're talking about his book, Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. One of the contributors to your book, a major contributor, is Grant Cameron. He has a thing called the theory of wow. What is that?
Grant is one of the best, most intelligent. Well, they're all pretty intelligent people. That's why I gravitate toward the field. They're not just walking around with tinfoil hats. These people really take the subject seriously. Grant's been at it since his sighting in Canada in 1975. And he says, this is the Super Bowl of all events. This is the one we're waiting for. Humanity is waiting for. So he says in the theory of WOW that, and I don't agree with all of it because, and that's one of the reasons I put him in there, because I don't have to agree with it when everyone's point of view is. He said these, a lot of these UFOs show up just to kind of get our attention. He says, you think these UFOs need lights on them? Those lights are for us. Their lights and their maneuvers in the sky are just so we can say, really? There's something going on here. He says, they don't need lights to travel across the universe or galaxies or wherever they're coming from. That's ridiculous. So he says, if you've seen a UFO, you are meant to see it. There are no accidental sightings. You are part of the phenomena. They're aware of you and you're aware of them. And this is something bigger than anything people are telling us. And, you know, Grant made a huge switch from just studying what the Prezi has a whole website called UFO and Presidents. And he would say he would track what each president had to say about the subject. And he researched all these Freedom of Information Act reports. But somewhere about 3 or 4 years ago, he had a revelation. He says, this is not about the hardware. This is not about the craft. This is about the contactees. This is about consciousness. This has to do with us. This has to do with waking us up. So if in the theory of WOW, he goes from the government investigations, the hardware, to realizing this is talking to contactees and talking to the expansion of what happens to people when they start to make contact. So I thought that was a valuable insight. And he says there are no innocent bystanders here. We're all part of it. If you're even hearing this program for whatever reason, you are part of the phenomenon. This is planting seeds of possibility in your brain to look out for another level of reality. And that's really what the theory of WOW is. It's like, how do we wake up to more? There is more, and we're about to find out what that is.
And speaking of WOW, you also have Daryl Anka in your book, Making Contact. He's a channel who brings through extraterrestrial intelligence. Please tell us about Daryl.
Well, so like I said, I go from the external to the internal, and I go to people who have been contactees. And Daryl Anka has had an ongoing relationship, so he says, if you believe him, and I think I do, with an extraterrestrial named Bashar. And he's probably, channeling is a phenomenon now, whether you know that what that is or not. It's people shifting their consciousness to allow another frequency to kind of speak through them. And Daryl has been channeling Bashar, I think, for 38 years. And in that process, he learns more and more about this ET civilization. And I wanted him to write this chapter as himself and with the knowledge of what he has learned as a human being. So he has a lot of great examples of how they think in more abstract realms as opposed to how we think in very linear terms. And that, and one really great little part of Daryl's chapter was people are asking, okay, let's asking Daryl, okay, there's UFOs, there's ETs, but so what? What's the big deal about that? And Daryl cites the story that Benjamin Franklin says when he first saw the first hot air balloon, when people came, it was in France, and he was the ambassador of France, and it was the first hot air balloon. People were flying in the air, and they come up to Benjamin Franklin, and they say, but Ben, what's good is this? What's the purpose? What's the point of this? And Benjamin Franklin said, what's the point of a newborn child? And it's like that he was saying the point of it all is that there's an evolution here. There's a process of growth and discovery and unfoldment that we can't see in the beginning phases of this phenomenon. And we are really in the infant stage of this phenomenon. We really are like infants, but the potential of realizing we're connected to the rest of the cosmos wakes up the rest of humanity. It creates a renaissance of thought, And it kind of turns us on to what's more is possible for human civilization. These ships, whatever they are not filling up their gas tank to get here. There is free energy. There's an expansion of mind and consciousness and art and possibility. And maybe we can actually live in an abundant utopian world that's not idealistic, but is a reality. That's my hope.
One of the books that was an eye-opener for me early on my spiritual path was J.J. Hertog's The Key of Enoch. He and his wife Desiree are dear friends of yours. What do they share in Making Contact?
Well, actually, I'm actually staying with them in Sedona right now.
Wonderful.
So they are dear friends. They've been very kind and they've been very encouraging. They're saying that these beings are not just physical beings, but they're ultra celestials. They're from a higher frequency and they're more evolved. They're more evolved part of this cosmic family that we are a part of. They're saying we're not separate from the cosmos. These beings are here to help lift us up, but they're not going to do it for us. We have to clean up our mess. We have to stop being barbarians, you know, shooting at each other because they've said something that we don't like or something. They come from a really universal peace understanding that these higher beings are here to lift us up to a reality where we can be more complex in our overview of what the nature of consciousness is. So they write about that. They write about technology. And they write about waking up to who we really are.
Absolutely. As of the date of this interview, we're about 3 weeks away from the Intelligence Authorization Act mandated release of the government's report on unidentified aerial phenomena. Will it happen? And what do you think they'll share?
Well, if you've been listening to Luis Alejandro, who is really the front man at this point for this interface between government and UFO secrecy, or what they're calling UAPs. He's saying in the next 30 days, we are in store for some major, major breakthroughs in understanding the phenomena. I had doubted that at first until I saw his interview with Stephen Greenstreet at the New York Post, where he just announced that. Because what I feel is that the government doesn't know how to explain this. They don't know what to say about it. They don't know what this thing is. But we need to be told the truth. It's time for us to wake up to this phenomena. And I think the government's slow leaking process is going to pay off in the next 30 days, where we're going to discover that there's more to the world than meets the eye. And this is our opportunity to move forward into some new reality, some uncharted territories. And that's what's so exciting about this time. We are living under the time of a new heaven and a new earth, and it's time we woke up. And I think it's time for a breakthrough. So I'm happy we're right here at the edge of our seats when this new phenomena is unfolding in new ways of understanding. That's the bottom line for the book. We have to change how we think of reality if we're going to understand the phenomena. And I don't know if the government is ready to tell us that. They wanted to make it very smooth out, like they know what's going on. I think the best thing they can say is we have no idea. At least we will know the truth.
And it's my fervent hope and prayer that in learning the truth, that we grow as a race, as humanity, and learn how to love and take care of one another the way we should be.
Exactly. This needs to be a public conversation like we are having, Victor. We need to have it with members of Congress, the military, the media, the politician, religious leaders, anyone who thinks they're going to be it, and the people. We, the people, demand the truth, and the truth will set us free. Free of enslaved ideologies that don't work on any level. So, yes, demand the truth, because it is the resource for the future.
Amen, my friend, my guest, Alan Steinfeld. His book, making contact, preparing for the new realities of extraterrestrial existence. Alan, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
Yes, go to Amazon right now, right after you stop listening to this, and look up Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld. There's Kindle, the audiobook, and the book. I recommend the hardcover because it's just nice to sit down and read it at your own leisure and go back over it. And because I, not just me, but 11 other contributors make points that are complex in a way. I mean, it's easy to read, but I want the reader to really sit with these ideas and start to move some unmovable blocks that may have been stopping them from saying, we're a part of a greater universe, obviously. So that's where you can find the book, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and even Macmillan, if you want to go to the homepage there, Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld. And you can find most of my social media platforms on Instagram, Alan_Steinfeld, and YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, subscribe to youtube.com/newrealities. I do about 4 or 5 live shows a week with people talking about their ET experiences. Also, a bunch of channeling happening there. I do past lives, ancient civilizations. I do it all on New Realities because we need a whole new paradigm of who we are as human beings if we're really going to start to be making contact. So thank you. I've enjoyed this, Victor. Thank you for your time.
Alan, thank you, my friend, for joining us and sharing this very, very important message. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.